prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 29 September 2025. Welcome to the next broadcast. We're glad you're with us. And I do mean that. And I want to advise you tonight to make sure you're hearing us very clearly. We're going to talk to a guest, a member by the name of Nick Bryant. The information you're going to share tonight is going to be very interesting for all of us. Before we go there, though, one small announcement. We got still got the special for the month on of the DVD, Broken Air, a seminar, and the book that goes with it, The Rapture to Deceive the Elect. We have those two still available through tomorrow night for $15 a piece. So I hope you'll take advantage of it before they're all gone or the month is over. And I sincerely mean that. We're doing our best, folks, to bring information to you as much as possible, to get in your hands as cheap as possible so you can see the truth. And the video, the DVD we did, the seminar, is probably 12, 15 years old. And what was spoken of there is more relevant today than it has been or was when we spoke about it. Believe me, folks, we're not intelligent, all that intelligent people. But we know what's coming because the Bible tells us, and the people that are doing it actually tell us in advance also. We just don't pay attention. So get them while you can, all right? Now, our guest tonight says Nick Bryant. He's going to discuss and disclose some information about a topic that's been slammed all over the news. Trump ran on it, run on this promise of bringing forth information that Nick's going to share tonight. He said as soon as he gets in office, he's going to reveal the Epstein files. We know that's a lie because I'm convinced Trump's part of it. But nonetheless, tonight we're going to talk to a man that knows about this. Let's try and get the word out to the people what's going on behind the scenes that many, many, many people don't want out because they'll definitely will convict them or at least expose them to what's going on with the child pedophilia market, I guess you could say, that the sex trafficking market, and a whole lot more than that. Let's bring our guest up. Let's speak to Nick Bryant. Nick, are you there?
I'm here. It's good to be with you, Pastor Butch.
It's good to have you, sir. It truly, truly is. And I thank you for taking time out of your schedule to talk to us. I know you're covered up, and I know that, quite honest with you, you're sticking your neck out on the limb here. We all know what can happen when people do that in this country anymore. But before we go on, tell the folks a little bit about Nick. Who is Nick? What does he do? And how in the world did he get involved with all this?
Well, I'm a professional writer, and I'm an author and freelance journalist. And I've been a journalist for about 35 years. And in 2002, I came across a story on the internet. It was nebulous. It wasn't really nailed down, but it was about a purported pedophile network in Omaha, and Omaha was like the epicenter of it, and the kids were flown from coast to coast, and blackmail was deployed, and it was connected with intelligence, and the federal government covered it up, much like we're seeing with Epstein. And I went there a little skeptical. I knew that something had gone down in Omaha, but I wasn't quite sure of what had gone down. And I, to tell you the truth, I really didn't think it was a nationwide network, and I didn't think it was connected to blackmail and intelligence. So I went into it fairly skeptical, but I've known that I should always keep my mind open about everything. And I was there a little over a week, and people were terrified to talk about this. This was in 2002, and the network was in operation throughout the 80s and covered up in the early 90s. And people were terrified to talk about this. And, I mean, it was like I was doing an expose on the KGB in Stalinist Russia. And we're talking the heartland, Nebraska. And I ultimately started to collect some documents that showed that there were 60 victims. And I talked to some people that were affiliated with the network. And then on my last night, I had been followed, too. And then on my last night there, I had a death threat. So I live in New York City, and I came back to New York City, and I was pretty freaked out.
I don't want to interrupt you, but you had death threat. Can you tell us what happened?
I was staying with a friend of mine in Omaha, and I was staying in his apartment. He had an apartment in an apartment complex, and a woman came to the door and said, "You're in a lot of danger, and they're going to kill you." So. And my friend had been kind of skeptical about what I was looking into. Actually, he'd been more skeptical than me, but the things that I'd uncovered, and then that last night, because he was there when she made the death threat. So
we had a nice
dinner that night, but we didn't sleep well. And then I got back to New York. And I was walking through Washington Square Park with my mentor. His name is Gerald Ballinger. He was a retired journalist. And he was like a mentor to me. He was a best friend. And I said, "Jerry, it's all true. It's all true. These kids were being trafficked from coast to coast. It was covered up by the federal government and the state government. It was connected to intelligence and blackmail." And I was really freaked out. I mean, we're walking through Washington Square Park, and I'm looking for snipers on buildings. I mean, and I think the death threat freaked me out. But what really freaked me out is that the government would cover up child sexual trafficking. That's what really blew my mind, is that our federal government would cover up heinous crimes like that. And we're seeing that with Epstein.
I know you have a lot more to go, but what kind of evidence did you uncover in Omaha? What did you find out?
Well, there had been a grand jury. Actually, there had been two grand juries that covered this up. I don't know if your audience is familiar with how grand juries work, but a special prosecutor is chosen to oversee a grand jury. And grand jurors are just citizens that have shown up for jury duty, and they've been found to a grand jury. The term grand jury has an authoritative sound, like the gods of jurisprudence have spoken, but it's really a special prosecutor presenting evidence to grand jurors who are just regular citizens. And the special prosecutor chooses the evidence that the grand jurors see, and also calls the witnesses that the grand jurors hear. So they're in a perfect position to twist the grand jurors' minds to whatever they want. And this particular grand jury said that there was no pedophile network, and actually indicted two of the victims on perjury. And a lot of that documentation was everything in a grand jury ultimately gets sealed. But I got some of that sealed grand jury documentation. And there was a list of 60 victims. And then I just started to try to find the victims.
Okay. And you started to find the victims while you were still there in Omaha, or that's after you got back to New York?
No, I went back to New York, and okay. I kind of regrouped, and then I started looking for victims in various databases that I use to find people. I'm very good at finding people, and I could get a close proximate. A lot of these victims had come from lower socioeconomic dysfunctional backgrounds, and much like Epstein, and they'd come from these underprivileged backgrounds, and then they would be repeatedly molested, and then if they perform well, they would get drugs. So a lot of these kids end up as felons because when they lose their youthful marketability, they're just expunged by the network, and at that point, they go on to commit crimes to feed their various habits. It's very tragic. So they're hard to find. A lot of these victims were very, very hard to find. But then I started looking for them, and then there was a long list of people that was affiliated with this pedophile network, and I just started making calls when I got back to New York. And then, let me see, about 7 months later, I went on the road for a couple of months where I just investigated this. I went to Washington, D.C., and then I went to the Midwest. I went to Omaha, and then I found some victims in Michigan, and I found some victims in Ohio. So it was just me trying to find victims.
And at this point in time, were you uncovering some names that you recognized that were involved in this?
As far as the pedophile network?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, there were a number of names that came up. And like with Epstein, there's a number of names that have come up. But I think this is my take on it. Why Epstein has been so vehemently covered up and why the Franklin scandal was so vehemently covered up is because it's much more than just this senator or that senator or this attorney general or that attorney general.
And what do you mean by that? Well, go ahead.
I think it's a system that our political system is rife with blackmail. And I think it's what happened with Franklin, what we're seeing with Epstein, is the system protecting itself.
Uh-huh. So you think, obviously, they've been blackmailed, so they keep their mouth shut, but what they uncover once they're in position of power?
Yeah, I got to a blackmail photographer when I was writing, and the book that I ultimately wrote is called The Franklin Scandal, A Story of Power Brokers, Child Abuse, and Betrayal. And I got to one of the blackmail photographers, and I think he was pretty honest with me early on, but at a certain point, he kind of veered from that. But anyway, I talked to him a number of times, and I was really trying to understand how something like this worked, because you don't read about it in books. And, I mean, you can read about it in the Franklin scandal, but prior to that, you really couldn't read about it. And I asked him how it worked, and he said, once you're compromised, it's like you're on a yacht, and it's a beautiful yacht, and it's a beautiful day, and you can have anything you want on the yacht. But if you decide to get off the yacht, the people on the yacht are going to make sure that you drown. So there's zero incentive for someone who's blackmailed to come forward. I mean, he or she has their masters.
And how prevalent is that?
Well, we're seeing it in Congress right now with Epstein. Thomas Massie introduced a bill that would make sure that there was an Epstein investigation. And we saw Speaker of the House Mike Johnson actually adjourn the House early so it couldn't be voted on. And he's got 218, now we're just about at 218 signatures. I think we're going to get a signature in the near future. But we're at almost at 218 signatures, which is a majority in the House. And then, so that investigation would go forward with the House, but then the Senate would have to vote on it. And it would have to get a majority.
Do you think that many clean congressmen that have not been compromised, 218 of them, do you think there's that many of them left?
Well, there's 217 congressmen and women that are voting against an investigation into Jeffrey Epstein.
So about half and half.
Yeah, and the Senate is the same way. It's split half and half. But even if it goes past the House and it goes past the Senate, Donald Trump can veto it. So it's going to be a tough slog to get the information that we need.
And with all this happening, we know Trump ran on one of the promises, along with many promises, that he would blow the lid off of Epstein's shenanigans. And all of a sudden, he changed teams on that and done one day at all. He couldn't believe we're still talking about that. And it's went on from there. Oh, golly. Well, I mean, his name was on the list. I'm sure it was because he's friends with Epstein for 15 years. So I would say his name was on the list. What you're seeing already, do you see perhaps that he really is involved in this?
There is a journalist named Michael Wolff who got to know Epstein. Actually, I think Epstein wanted him to write a book on him. I don't know exactly what their relationship was, but Epstein opened up his safe and showed Michael Wolff pictures of women or young, sometimes he says young girls, sometimes he says young women, sometimes he just says girls, sitting on Trump's lap topless. So if he's telling the truth, he was definitely mixed up in Epstein's shenanigans.
Oh, wow. Well, that's probably why he's fighting so hard against it. So I don't want to keep interrupting you, but these questions come to my mind. I know people are thinking the same thing. So you're involved, and how deep are you in this now? I mean, what are you seeing that the normal public is not seeing?
Well, I started investigating Jeffrey Epstein in 2012, and I actually was the guy that got his black book. And it took me 3 years, but I found a platform that was willing to publish the black book. I got it from one of the attorneys who was representing one of the victims.
Okay,
And then I also got the flight logs. So I was the guy that released the black book and the flight logs in 2015. And the Trump administration and Pam Bondi said that they were going to release the files this last February. And shortly thereafter, she released the files of what she had. But I released more incriminating information in 2015 than she did in 2025. When I got Trump's black book, we decided that we would redact the numbers of the adults. And then under massages, there was like 175 people. And a lot of those people that were listed under the massages were underage girls that Epstein would molest. So we redacted their last names and also their numbers. And then when I saw Bonnie release exactly what I released, she redacted everything. I mean, the Department of Justice redacted everything. And then she said that she'd been bamboozled by the FBI's New York field office, which, according to Cash Patel, that's not true. And then she said that finally she said she had a truckload of evidence and that only matters related to national security would be redacted from the documents. So she keeps, now she has to tell us what a bunch of child molesters have to do with national security.
Well, maybe if the word got out, we lose half our government. So I don't know. I mean, this is really disgusting beyond words. And again, I'm sure this goes much deeper than we so far, probably yourself. But so, what is going to happen? I mean, are you still getting threats? Are more people coming up to you and saying, "Hey, I know something about this"? What's happening in the investigation right now?
Well, at this point, Bondi, the FBI released a document on July 6th that said that Epstein acted alone or with Maxwell, which is just total bunk. I mean, Epstein and Maxwell created a machine that sucked up little girls, and it was run by a bunch of their henchwomen. And there were a number of politicians, big-time politicians, that these girls were given to. So for the FBI to come out and Justice Department to come out and lie like that, that's really bad. I mean, they're covering up child molestation. Our government, our federal government,
yes.
is covering up child molestation. I mean, that's, to me,
Involved themselves? Are they getting paid to do it? What's happening? The DOJ, the courts, whatever. Who's getting paid off or being scared off?
I think that there are a lot of people that are getting scared off, but I also think that there are a lot of people that are compromised. Like Mike Johnson, our Speaker of the House. Constitutionally, he's the third most powerful man in the country. And he, as I said earlier, he adjourned the House early so it couldn't vote on a bill to investigate Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile network. And then it came out that he had an app on his phone called Covenant Eye, and his 17-year-old had an app on his phone called Covenant Eye so they could monitor each other's pornography consumption. And then, and then he said that Donald Trump was a FBI informant on Epstein. And then that was too much of a lie, so he walked that back. So when we think of Mike Johnson, we're looking at a really sleazy, despicable human being that's doing everything in his power to prevent the government from investigating Jeffrey Epstein and his band of child molesters.
You know, what you're saying now, and I mean this seriously, and I don't want to scare you or anything else, but you're walking on very thin ice exposing this because you're saying things we know is truth. And that Mike Johnson, in my opinion, you're right. He's a piece of scum. But you're walking on territory now that people have disappeared talking about. And you're about ready to expose some things to the world. And with your help, it's going to be exposed. That's going to shake this nation to its core if the people in this country care enough to make a difference.
Well, it's really up to Americans. And we started an organization, a nonprofit organization called Epstein Justice. And what the goal of Epstein Justice is, and I really want your audience to check us out at EpsteinJustice.com. What our goal is, we want an independent congressional commission to investigate Jeffrey Epstein. With an independent congressional commission, we need a majority in the House, and we need a majority in the Senate, and we don't need the president. So Congress has the power to institute an independent congressional commission. And that would encompass not only politicians, but it would encompass people like me who really want to see justice. And I think that that is the only way that we're really going to see justice in this case is an independent congressional commission.
Well, I do know that sex trafficking, slave trafficking also is the second largest money-making business in the country next to drugs. How was Epstein the top player in this or just another major player involved in this?
I think he was just another major player. I think that there are other networks like this for sure. When I was pitching the Franklin Network, people were telling me, publishers and editors were telling me, this still couldn't be going on. And meanwhile, Epstein was going on. So I believe, I've been digging in this abyss for 22 years, and I think at any given time there are a number of networks like this in operation that are protected, that are somehow hooked up to both blackmail and intelligence.
Well, I do know that the Franklin cover-up, a book about that written many years ago that I remember looking at, and even back then I had a hard time believing this could be so prevalent, but it was. I know it was. I look back on it, of course, I can see it very clearly. But now, tell us what you, when you talk to the victims, the ones you, that you get to interview, how were they brought into it? Who did the parents sell them into it, or what happened?
No, most of them came from lower socioeconomic families, and Epstein would give them $200, and that's how it would get started. And then if you, and then you'd become a recruiter too, and then Epstein would give you $200 to $300 for every girl that you brought in. And then there would be girls that would be flown to the island where it was kind of an orgy. There would be young women and girls, and there were young women in their early 20s that Epstein lured into his clutches by promising them a modeling career. He did own a modeling agency with a very nefarious character named Jean-Luc Brunel. And also, they bought, and I'm not saying rented, I'm saying they bought girls in Eastern Europe and in the former Eastern Bloc countries. They actually were buying girls.
And in America, where are the, you said, you mentioned Omaha. The main hubs are, I know probably D.C. is one of them, but where are the main hubs centered that these people work out of?
Wherever there's a major metropolitan area, I think you'll find a hub. There's a lot of child trafficking. According to the Centers for Disease Control, 25% of underage girls and 5% of underage boys are molested. And a lot of people in the field
repeat that again one more time, please.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, 25% of minors are molested, and 5% of American boys. Now, people in the field think that it's a slightly conservative for girls, and it's very conservative for boys. But if you just go with the Centers for Disease Control numbers, you've got 50 million Americans who have been molested as minors. 50 million.
My goodness. And are these children sometimes kidnapped? Or are they lured into, as you said, with a modeling career, or what? I mean, do they outright kidnap them in this country? I know they buy them overseas. They're probably, who knows how they're brought over. But are they kidnapped here off the streets? Is that going on also?
Very seldom. There's not a lot of stranger abductions in the United States. But predators know how to, like in the Franklin scandal, the...
Hang on the thought. Don't lose that thought, please. Franklin scandal. Folks, a lot more talk about it in your phone calls and questions next half hour at 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nemana Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nemana a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Brother, hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks. We're back. We're going to talk to Nick Bryant, and we're going to have him tell about his website again in a minute. Get down pen and paper very quickly so you can hear what he's saying. And tonight we're talking about mainly Epstein, but this has been going on for so long. And I do know from my personal experience that when I first heard about the thing, with the Franklin cover up and different things, I did not want to believe it. Nobody does. But we shouldn't be shocked. We should not be shocked, folks. There's nothing new under the sun, so to speak. And we know that our leaders are capable of doing anything when they become in power. They can do about anything. And don't think that just because they're a congressman or senator that they're any more moral correct than the average citizen, because they're not. Now, you make a comment before we hit the break about the Franklin cover-up, and folks, the line is open, 717-300-1698. Go ahead.
Well, same with the Franklin scandal. When I was pitching it in New York, editors and publishers, they experienced cognitive dissonance before my very eyes. They would think to themselves, this is a horrible story. And by this time, I had lots of documentation. They would say to themselves, this is a horrible story. I need to help Nick Bryant. Or I can just write Nick Bryant off as crazy, and I won't have to deal with this, and I can have a nice dinner with my family tonight. And that's what happened. And that's what happened when I started investigating Epstein, too. Like I said, I had the black book for 3 years before I could get it published by a major publication or a platform.
And when you were doing this, when you had that black book in your possession, I'm amazed that somebody didn't come try to take it or make you give it up. I'm surprised at that. I mean, how'd you hang on to it so long?
Well, I have possession of it. And as soon as I got it, I made a bunch of copies of it and sent it around the country to various people that I know. That's what I did with all the documents in Franklin, too. As soon as I got some really incriminating documents or an incriminating interview, I would make copies of it and just send it around to my friends in case something happened to me.
But, you know, I haven't seen, back to the Franklin cover-up, a whole lot of repercussions on anybody that was involved in that, have you?
No. Actually, there was a girl named Alicia Owen that wouldn't recant accounts of her abuse, and the state sentenced her, or the state grand jury indicted her on 8 counts of perjury, and the federal grand jury indicted her on 8 counts of perjury. She was, this is a girl now that was trafficked when she was an adolescent. She was looking at 200 years in prison because she wouldn't recant accounts of her abuse. And a kangaroo court ultimately sentenced her to between 9 and 15 years in prison for perjury, a kid, a 20-year-old kid. And the authorities really tried to destroy her. She was in solitary for 2 years, nearly 2 years.
Oh, my.
So that's what happened.
Is she still alive?
She is still alive. And I said earlier that I'm the director of a nonprofit group called EpsteinJustice.com. She's one of the associate directors. She's an amazing individual.
I love to talk to her sometimes, if you wouldn't mind. Love to talk to her. So
sure.
I would love to have her on the broadcast to share a story. This is just, we need to get this word out. So with all these ladies now coming forth now, we see them on the news talking about what happened under, with Epstein. They're being kind of shoved to the side also, apparently, and who knows what else is happening with them. Are you talking to any of them?
I've talked to a number of Epstein survivors. And actually, there's two Epstein survivors that are affiliated with the Epstein Justice. One is on our staff and one is on our advisory board. So I've gotten to know Epstein Justice survivors pretty well, a number of them.
And I do know that a couple of them have, we'll say, committed suicide along the way. Unfortunately, what they tell us anyway. So with what you see come, we'll get folks, get the phone lines in, I promise. Get your phone calls in a minute at 717-300-1698. What do you see happening next? As the information, go ahead. We'll go ahead and make your thought, and what you see happening next.
Okay. So as we were talking about, if you cover up a crime, you're aiding and abetting that crime.
Yes, you
are. So right now, our federal government, by covering up Jeffrey Epstein, is aiding and abetting child sex trafficking. We actually have a federal government right now that's aiding and abetting child sex trafficking. And that's something we have to change. If if we allow this to go on much longer, America will lose its soul.
I think America probably already has, to be quite honest with you. I think it already has. But nonetheless, being a pastor for over 50 years, a radio talk show host for almost 33 years, I think it already has. It already has. So where are we headed? What's going to happen next?
Well, there's going to be a vote in the House, and I think that there's going to be enough signatures to actually vote on a bill to investigate Jeffrey Epstein, even though 217 representatives are fighting against it. 218 are going to be for it. But then it's going to go before the Senate, and there was a rider put on a Senate bill a couple of weeks ago, and 51 senators voted against an Epstein investigation. So if we're going to have an Epstein investigation, at least with this route that Thomas Massie is going and Ro Khanna, both representatives, we're going to have to get a majority in the House. We're going to have to get a majority in the Senate, and Donald Trump's going to have to sign it. And I don't see that happening. As I said earlier, with my organization or our organization, Epstein Justice, we want an independent congressional commission, and we just need a majority in the House and a majority in the Senate. We do not need the president to sanction an independent congressional investigation.
Wow, this is way deeper than most people would believe. I mean, to have the people, we'll say an authority, that are involved in this, that want to keep it covered up, from the president right on down to the Speaker of the House, and even below that, we're seeing people that don't want their name brought out, obviously. And I would, in my opinion, about half what you just mentioned, half the members of both the Senate and House are already compromise to the point they don't want it either. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, they're compromised. It's difficult to know. I mean, there's a lot of ways to compromise someone. If you do it with a child, then you own their soul for sure. But there's a lot of ways to compromise someone. But I think, as I said earlier, there are individuals that are being protected. But ultimately, what's being protected with the Franklin scandal and also the Epstein scandal is a political system that has a lot, that's ripe with blackmail. I believe that's what's getting protected. That's what the people that are blackmailing our legislators don't want to come out, is that they're the power behind the throne.
Wow. Well, obviously there's more going through this than we may ever know, but at least by the grace of God, you're trying to get the word out. And I got to thank you for that. Let's take a phone call. Let's start in Georgia and talk to Tom. Tom, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Pastor, can you hear me?
Sure can.
I'm enjoying your guest. This is how deep it goes. Washington is pretty much just a ballet of blackmail. You don't get to the positions of power unless they've got you. You remember Dennis Hastert?
I know Dennis Hastert's case well.
Oh, gosh. He was the speaker, the longest-serving Republican speaker of the House. He got put in jail after he had resigned because he was paying off one of his earlier wrestling students that he was molesting when he was a wrestling coach. And they charged him with structuring his withdrawals to hide it. And that was just a message to the rest of the gang, hey, you're only in the club for life. Because if you don't do what we say, we will wreck you, man. You remember Barney Frank?
Oh, yeah.
I know his case very well. He was part of the Franklin scandal, Barney Frank.
Yeah. And he came out and said, listen, if you guys don't back off me when his roommate got caught doing a prostitution ring.
He was running an escort service.
Yeah, of guys. And Frank came out and said, "Listen, if you don't back off me, I'm gonna give out the guest list." And they made him like a finance committee chairman or a banking committee chairman. You don't get to these places unless they've got you and you have their authority. Otherwise, you're only captain for life.
That's very true.
But what's interesting about Dennis Hastert is there was a FBI whistleblower named Sybil Edmonds, and the FBI knew about Dennis Hastert when he was Speaker of the House, knew what he was up to when he was Speaker of the House, but they let it go.
That's why they made him Speaker, because they had him compromised.
Yes, and that's why Mike Johnson is Speaker, because I believe he's compromised, too.
Exactly. They all are. I'll let it go with that. Thank you all.
Thank you, Tom. Oh, good information, good questions. We're going to take the call in a minute, but anything you want to add to that, Nick?
No, that was a good question.
My listeners, and I say this not to brag on me, but some of the sharpest people in the world you're ever going to meet, that's a fact. Let's talk to Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, come on in. Welcome.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Nick, do you have a book on Epstein?
I'm writing a book on Epstein. I have his black book, which was all his connections.
Okay,
And by the way, how big is the book, the black book?
It's about 95 pages.
Wow.
And it has all the names in it. What do you have to get a copy of that?
You can get them off the internet now. When I put it up, no one had it. I was the only guy that really had it, that put it up on the internet. But the thing about that book is there's many, many entries, and a lot of them are perpetrators and a lot of them aren't. It's just filled with all of Jeffrey Epstein's social connections.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Sherry.
What did this Larry King from that credit union in Omaha, Nebraska, did he ever get charged with anything?
He got charged with stealing $40 million from that credit union, but he didn't get charged with one count of child abuse.
Wow. Okay. Well, you do good work, Nick.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you,
yeoman's
Sherry.
Work. Thank you.
Thank
bye.
You so much. Thanks for the call. Folks, lines open, 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. And Nick, I everybody else saying the same thing. We admire your courage and your tenacity. We've been doing this for a long time, 20-some years. And I'm sure it's like going down a rabbit hole. The further you go, the deeper it gets, the more it stinks, and the darker it gets. And I'm sure that's true with what you're uncovering also. So your next step is to do what to get this cause, besides try to get a vote in the House? What's your next step?
Well, everything, I'm focusing all my attention on Epstein justice, because this is what we need. We need an independent congressional investigation. So I'm giving everything I've got to Epstein justice. I was actually writing a book about Jeffrey Epstein, but I realized that I had to give more energy to Epstein justice. So if your listeners really want to be part of the solution, really want to have an effect, they should check us out at EpsteinJustice.com.
And can you tell us who are two or three of the most prevalent names mentioned in the Black Book?
Well, the Black Book has a number of names, but then a telltale sign is the number of phone numbers that people have. Like,
okay.
Bill Clinton has 24 contact numbers for Jeffrey Epstein. And
wow, that surprised me.
And Donald Trump has 12. Or Epstein has 12 contact numbers for Donald Trump.
Wow. And is Hillary Clinton in there?
No, just Bill.
Really? Hillary's not in that. Okay. How about that? I'm surprised. So these men obviously were very close to Epstein. I mean, I don't mean just as a friend, but people that associate with him a lot on different reasons, different times. And we know, again, that what you're doing now is absolutely blown the lid off of a lot of things that I think is going to get much, much more involved in the very near future. So,
we know who the perpetrators are. We know who the pimps are. This is not rocket science at this point. We know who these guys are who molested these girls. And we know who the pimps are that helped facilitate the molestation of these girls. What we need is the FBI and Department of Justice to do their jobs. There were six pimps named by a New York Times article. Ghislaine Maxwell, who we know is a pimp, Sarah Kellen, who should have been indicted, Leslie Groff, Adriana Ross, Nadia Marcinkova, and Haley Robson. Now, Robson would recruit kids at a high school or middle school, but Kellen, Groff, Ross, and Marcinkova knew about the entire network. If our government really wanted to take care of this, they would indict Kellen, Groff, Ross, and Marcinkova on multiple counts of child trafficking. And in the federal system, that's a heavy sentence. That's 15 years of life. And they would roll over on the perps. And even the government concedes that there's over 1,000 victims. And we've got all these victims that would be willing to testify. So this would be actually a relatively easy case to prosecute if the government wasn't so corrupt. If the FBI did its job and if the Department of Justice did its job, we could have all these guys behind bars probably in 6 months.
What is do you think Kaish and all of them are involved also? I mean, the FBI, do you think they're involved in this guilty themselves?
I don't know if he's compromised, but he's certainly covering it up. For whatever reason, I don't know, but Kash Patel is definitely covering this up right now. And so is Pam Bondi.
Boy, that really hits a nerve, because they are the ones we expect to persecute the evildoers, and obviously they're not going to do it. Obviously not. What can you say? Let's speak to John in Texas. John, come on in. Welcome.
And he was talking about getting Congress to investigate this. You know, that's the problem, is that they would have to investigate themselves. And that's probably not going to happen.
It can happen. It can happen. If the American people want it to happen, it can happen. I believe that. I believe that if enough pressure is put on our government, it can happen. Or else we're just going to have to concede that our government aids and abets child trafficking and that, okay, we're cool with it and we're not going to do anything. It's really up to us as Americans to do the right thing here.
Well, I think the problem is, though, is they're probably guilty of themselves. And so, and I remember back when Bill Clinton.
Go ahead, John. Still there?
Yeah, I remember back when Bill Clinton was president that somehow he got into all the FBI files on these people, which was supposed to be illegal. So all this blackmail stuff, you know, I guess it's been going on for a long time, but somehow they found out a lot of stuff about these people because they broke the law and got into these FBI files on them. And I guess back in those days, you probably really kind of had an FBI. You know what I mean?
I believe that Bill Clinton was heavily compromised even before he became president. I believe he was heavily compromised.
No doubt. No doubt.
I believe he was heavily compromised while he was governor of Arkansas.
Well, yeah, you have the Clinton Chronicles where all the two were assassinated.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's kind of one of those things, though, where, and then they sealed their files, medical records, you know, where they didn't want anybody knowing anything about them. And, yeah, but like I say, I don't know, it's a devilish world, and, you know,
let me ask you this. Do you want to do something about it? If you could do something about it, would you want to do something about it?
Yeah, but I think the problem with the whole thing is that, you know, pretty much what they're kind of saying, the reason why they're covering it up, that these people, most of the government is just a bunch of sleazeballs, you know, because they're all compromised.
Well, and, you're right. I agree, but like you said, if enough American people stand up and say, we're not going to put up this, we want this exposed, they'd have to do it or resign, or both. They'd have no choice if people stood up.
It would take a lot of Americans, but we can do it. I mean, I believe that we're fighting for the soul of our nation. I don't think we've lost our soul yet. I think if Epstein continues to be covered up, I think that'll probably be the critical mass, and we will lose our souls. Our country will lose its soul. But I think at this point, we've got a perfect time in history for us to do something about this. The left and the right are heavily polarized, but it can agree, and both the left and the right can agree that the government shouldn't be aiding and abetting child trafficking. This is the only issue that I think can bring the left and right together, and I think it can bring the left and the right together.
Okay. Anything else, John, very quickly? Go ahead, John, very quickly. Go ahead.
Well, I listen to this guy every now and then called Colonel Douglas McGregor, and he has some real interesting military points. And then I've heard some other stuff, and I'm beginning to wonder about Donald Trump, you know. It'd be great. I would think that it would definitely have to be a move of God, or God would have to intervene. And, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, you know.
Well, if enough people stand up, God may intervene. And if you don't trust Trump for good morning, John, don't trust him for good morning. God jump, thanks for the call. Let's go to Esther in Washington State. Esther, come on in. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Pastor Butch. What is your name again, sir?
My name is Nick Bryan.
Nick Bryan. Okay. Well, Brian, Mr.
With
the
T.
Okay. All right. I believe that if Charlie Kirk had been allowed to live, that he would have continued to work to expose the Epstein situation with truth. And I believe that he would have been way too dangerous because right now, all those that were involved with Epstein on the island in New York and in New Mexico, that they're damned if they don't expose it, if they cover it up. But if they uncover it, they're going to be destroyed. No one will stand for it. And I keep thinking about the dentist chair in the shower in his New York domicile. And then the ultrasound.
Actually, it was in the, it was a facial, I think, for facials.
For facials in the shower.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's still weird.
I looked into, I saw a picture of that device, and I inquired about it. And yeah, it's used for facials.
And by the way, Esther, in this month's, October's month of the Minuteman magazine, we have pictures of the inside of his mansion. We have pictures of the inside of really weird stuff. It'll be in the magazine. Go ahead.
Okay, so do you know anything then about the altar stone in the bathroom on Epstein Island's compound?
There has been a lot of conjecture about that. There is that building that looks like a temple, and there is an owl above the temple, and people have speculated that it's Moloch, the god that children were sacrificed to.
Okay, and but, now how about the hunting parties that they used to stalk down young boys and girls? When I say young, I mean young.
You
got to
hurry down, but we're down last few seconds. Go ahead very quickly with that,
Nick. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Nick, go ahead and answer it real quickly.
I have read about incidences like that, but, I mean, I don't have proof of instances like that. I've read about them, but I don't have proof.
Okay. We're down about the last, golly, it's went by fast, about 30 seconds. Give information again how to look up your website.
Come to our website, EpsteinJustice.com. We have weekly or monthly webinars on how to pressure the government. We will teach you how to pressure your government representatives to do the right thing.
Thank you so much for your courage, Nick. Go ahead, Rick.
Thank you, EpsteinJustice.com.
And I'll be in touch with you, if you don't mind. I'd like to talk to the lady you mentioned earlier. I'll be in touch with you if you don't mind.
Okay, great.
And keep in touch. Anything I can do to help, you let me know. If you want back on the show again sometime, give me a holler, okay?
Okay, great.
God bless you, Nick. Thank you. All right, folks. I mean, what else can we say? It's coming out. What's going to happen next? I don't know. I really don't know. But our nation is so corrupt. Every day a mass shooting. Every day another catastrophe. Another disaster. Every day. America's being judged. Are we going to stand the truth, or are we going to compromise right on into hell? See you tomorrow night. Good night.
Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as common sense voices of integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.